everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Dirty Apple Podcast. We want to give you a couple of quick heads ups about what you're about to hear before we get started. First of all, we may end up changing the name of the podcast. We haven't really decided on that yet. And also, we're going to call this episode zero because it's kind of a pilot for us. You'll be able to tell that the audio is not top-notch. We're working on getting the kinks out, and we're getting some better equipment in. So by the time we really get started, you should be able to tell a significant increase in the quality of this. In this episode, we're going to talk with Jake England. He was one of the guys with Ashland, Maine. He's one of our co-conspirators with Dirty Apple. He's a super creative guy, and don't let him hear this, but he's an amazing songwriter. We talk a little bit about that in our upcoming interview. In the future, we hope to be working with some partners with Dirty Apple and telling you about some of them. I'm going to just make one up now because we haven't got them yet. So I'm going to tell you about one of my favorite places to eat that's in Athens, Alabama. It is the Catfish Cabin on Highway 72. They have some fantastic dinner at good prices. Check them out if you haven't already. That's a free plug for you guys. Anyway, let's get started with our interview with Jake. Here we go. Conversational interview style.
I used so you don't have to write everything down.
Yeah, exactly. I used to do this a lot when I was over at UH. We did a couple of interviews with people just to see what was going on around campus.
Recording?
Yeah, of course I'm recording. Okay. We did this a lot. We just go around campus and just talk to people and see what they've been up to and the events that they were planning and people that had been in the news and find out, you know, what happened and stuff like that. But yeah, this is what I'm going to shoot for. And I want you to help me out with it too. So tell me a little bit about what's been going on with you musically lately.
I've been sitting in my room, not getting any sleep, taking care of a dog, and not writing.
That is making some real progress musically. I'm proud of you.
Making amazing progress.
So you're not writing. Tell me why you're not writing. I know you have been writing a lot in the past. You just played a really cool song for me. What was the name of it?
Coffee in My Cup.
When did you write that?
I need to rename that because it sounds a little awkward. But when did I write it?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I've been working on it for almost a month now.
If you had to guess, like, how many songs have you been writing, like, over the past couple of months?
Not that many. Maybe, like, 15.
When you're writing, is it just, like, you have an idea in your head, and you're like, oh, crap, I gotta write this down?
When I write things that I actually enjoy, that I personally enjoy and don't feel at all kind of embarrassed or don't want to show it, when I write those, and this is serious, I'm not saying it because of the stupid mic, it just comes to you. It just, the tune and the lyric just kind of together slam into my head.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'll be at work and I'll think of a song that, like a song by a couple of bands that are new or something like that on the radio. And I think of it's kind of like almost subconscious. It kind of just comes to me out of what I've heard recently.
So you think maybe it's a combination of things? It's like being inspired by new songs that you've heard,
yeah,
and maybe just seeing random things throughout the day in everyday life?
I actually woke up this morning and wrote a song in about 5 minutes, and I wrote all the lyrics and got everything down and just to start it off. And so it's got, you know, a good verse section and a chorus section.
What you're hearing now is Ben City, written by Jake, and recorded and performed by Ashland, Maine last year in 2012. You can hear a little bit of what he's talking about in this selection. Check it out.
Oh, how I, oh, how I don't know where to go. Oh, how I, oh, how I'm so blind. Love it, days
and it's kind of crossed my mind in the past year and a half when I've been hanging around with you guys, is the process for making this happen. Like, how is your process? Do you actually come up with the lyrics first, or do you have more of, like, an idea of the chords first, or is it, you know,
It's almost like the tune just comes into my head, and I get this feeling in my gut that makes me think of something, and that, then whatever that thought is what the lyrics is about. The lyrics are about.
So you have, like, more of the tune in your head, and you just have to kind of think, like, where are the chords for this?
It almost hits at the same time. It's probably, like, there's, like, probably a 2 or 3 second difference. Like, it probably, the tune, and then 3 seconds later, the lyrics. You know, because it's almost like that tune hits me, and it strikes a nerve, or it strikes some kind of something inside of me that makes me feel really low or really high or really something that makes me think of a lyric.
You know, I think a lot of people, like...
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, sure, I know what you're talking about. Like, just hanging around you guys has kind of made me creative a little bit. Maybe not necessarily in the ways that you guys are, where, like, a song comes to your head. But I told you, like, I had been thinking about, you know, doing a couple of, like, little mini novels that I could release on Kindle or something like that. Just because I think hearing the lyrics in y'all songs, in, like, Old Ash and Main songs, and some of the songs that the bands that we're working with now, they kind of tell stories in of themselves. So, like, I also want to be a storyteller a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not in the same way that you guys are, but in another creative way. But, you know, let me go back to what I was going to ask you. Like, for you, are these songs that you write, you know, on your own or with a band or whatever, would you call them autobiographical? How do you even say that word? I didn't say it right.
Autobiographical.
Yes, thank you. I think
that was not planned. That just happened.
Well, okay, that word, are they that thing? Are they autobiographical?
I don't know.
Or do you put yourself in a situation of somebody in a completely different story that you have nothing to do with?
It's almost like I haven't, if you actually think of it as being autobiographical, it's almost like thinking that I have never gotten over A Lover of Long Ago, which is a really good song.
That is a good song name.
No, that's already a good song. Justin Vernon actually does that one.
I thought you were about to say Justin Bieber. I was going to be like, no. Get out!
No. No, it's just, you know, like, for instance, like, what's that song? What's that song you liked by us?
All of them.
No, what was the most recent one? Even Brandon liked it. What was it called?
Lord Willing,
yeah. That has nothing to do with my life. I'm not hiding anything from a girlfriend or a family member or something like that. No, I'm not hiding anything.
You can hear the song that he mentions called Lord Willing in the background right now. We'll get to a bigger selection of that in just a second. Normally, this is where our sponsor or partner message would go, so I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Catfish Cabin on Highway 72, just to continue their free plug. My wife and I went there about a month or two ago, and I got the grilled catfish plate, or maybe it was a blackened catfish plate. I can't remember. It was some kind of catfish, and it was amazing. Go over there and check it out. Anyway, if you continue to listen to the rest of the episode, Jack and I go on for about another 15 minutes. Thanks for sticking with us this far. We hope you enjoy the rest of it, and check us again when we do our next episode sometime soon. Thanks.
She don't know me from Moses. But oh, Lord willing, I hope that she never sees the dark side of me. I stow away my gun, my sword, and speak the truth of one. I go to stay my girl, my home, and speak the love of one. Raise up your glass, let's go into the trade. I don't wanna head that way until my debt is paid. She don't know the evil things and I hope that never change. She thinks I tuck my tail and run if trouble ever came my way. She don't know me from Moses, and that's for sure. She don't know me from Moses, and that's for damn sure. Please, oh, hear me. Oh, don't let her take the blame. My heart, my soul, my love will never be the same. She don't know me from Moses. Oh, God, I've sure.
Well, with that song, are you trying to tell a story?
Yeah, that was trying to tell a story. That was straight up trying to be a storyteller like my grandfather.
Do you think, like, storytelling and songwriting is something that's specific to particular genres? I know a lot of people mostly associate storytelling with country songs or, like, old, like, Depression-era songs.
I think whenever you, like, say we talk about, like, alternative rock, like Yellow Card or Fall Out Boy or something like that, whatever would fall into alternative rock like that, it doesn't really tell the same kind of story. Even in the same language that a country song would, a folk song. I'm being completely serious, by the way. This is totally serious.
Oh, no, no, you should be. That's why we're doing this.
Okay, good. So, like, in alternative rock, they're talking, like, probably about, sometimes they're talking about the exact same thing that a really good song written by a songwriter would write.
Yeah.
You know, but it's completely different wording, completely different plot sometimes. Or not plot, they're completely different. Just the way that they say things, like it's almost like a different language.
Yeah,
you know that they describe things completely differently.
Well, to me, it seems like a lot of like kind of pop or punk songs or alternative rock songs. They aren't necessarily about like a sprawling tale like an old country song would be about. Like they're more about like a specific moment.
Yeah,
or something like
exactly.
That.
They try to like live in a moment somewhere.
Yeah,
and they describe it.
Well, which do you like better? Do you like the songs about that moment? Or
since
like,
I can't write a song about a moment, then I'd probably like the storytelling version better.
Yeah.
Because I can think of a story like in a couple of days. It would take a long time for me to think of one that I like.
To me, it seems like most of the stories that you write about in your songs are like relationship kind of songs.
I don't mean for them to be. Like I said, they just come to me. Like, I don't think about it. It just shows up.
So, like, you don't have something in mind already?
Subconsciously, I probably do. That I will never know about. I'm probably somewhere completely psychotic, but, you know.
Well, I mean, that's true in some cases. There's a lot of, like, crazy Green Day songs, for example, where they tell stories about, like, drug addiction and sometimes, like, aliens or something like that, you know.
True.
Where it's, like, not necessarily something from their lives, but something that they kind of cluely set out a goal to tell a story about something crazy and just wrote lyrics about that.
I think some of the best songwriters and musicians out there that even have, even like alternative rock musicians that have a songwriter style, I think they tell the best stories because of everything they think of as subconscious.
If you had to pick like one artist that's best at that, who would you say just off the top of your head?
As far as storytelling, I don't like the voice. I don't like the way this guy's voice is. It would have to be Bright Eyes.
Really? What was that?
You know who Bright Eyes is?
I know of them from what you guys have told me. I've heard a little, but not a whole lot.
His voice is interesting. It's kind of annoying to listen to after a long amount of time. But the way he tells a story and the way he words it, and most of the time, to make a song amazing with really shitty lyrics, the way you sing it is what makes a song good.
Yeah.
You know, the story is one thing. You have a story, and if it sucks, you can sing it, you know, like Shakespeare wrote it, and it sounds awesome, and you'll make money, and it'll be a great, you know, great hit, you know, but...
Well, what does that mean to you, though? Like, I think in a lot of cases, we go to shows, and we hear artists that we like to work with or that we look up to, and sometimes, in some cases, it's almost as if the person singing it is acting a little bit. Like, they're putting themselves in a role, so you can hear, like, the emotion in their voice a little bit. Like... You were talking about Bright Eyes. Is that something that is it he or she?
It's a guy.
Okay.
It's a band.
Okay. Is that something that you can tell on them a little bit?
Well, what do you mean? Like that's.
Well, I'll give you a good example. Okay. You talk about Bright Eyes, about how you don't really necessarily like the voice, but you like the story and the lyrics.
Yeah.
For me, personally, the best example of that is the Decemberists. I don't really like the vocals of their lead singer.
That's similar.
Something's a little off about it, but they're still amazing songs with like great stories.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm able to set aside how off-putting the voice is to hear, you know, the story that song is trying to tell. Whiskey River Kings does an amazing cover of one of the December songs. I can't remember which one it is. It's the most popular song. I
can't think of it. I know which one you're talking
about. You heard it though, right? And Frankie, I think maybe it's perhaps we're more accustomed to his voice from like hearing him on record and going to a lot of their shows.
It's more I can actually take a little more pleasure in listening to that than
It's not so nasally as the guy from the Decemberists.
Yeah, it's a little more that's a little better.
Yeah. And like we know him, and I think a lot of people who might be listening to the product, whatever this may be, know him pretty well. Like, you can kind of believe the story that he's telling in that song a little bit, because you know these guys who are around here, they're folks who have seen some crap. So when they're telling stories
and been in bar fights,
we love you, Frankie. But yeah, for everybody that doesn't know that story, we'll get him to tell it a little bit
on stage.
Yeah, he'll tell you on stage. Come out and see him sometime. But he's the kind of guy where you can believe that kind of stuff coming from him. It's not as if he is actually putting on an act like a lot of artists would. But yeah, who's another artist you can think of that does that?
That I like the lyrics, but not the vocals?
Sure, yeah.
I'm just going to name one that I like everything about it.
Go for it.
Iron and Wine, that's like one of my number one favorites. Like, I've been listening to Iron and Wine for like 3 or 4 years. Like, it's been a long time. That's probably the longest I've ever listened to a band besides Death Cab for Cutie. I've been listening to them since I was in fucking middle school. So it's been probably at least like 8 years that I've been listening to them.
See, I gotta tell you, this is one reason that I'm like continually impressed with you guys and your taste in music. Because like, when I was your age, when I was like 19 or 20, I was like heavy into like stuff like Third Eye Blind, which, for the record, I still kind of like. Like, I've seen them twice live. They're awesome. But I wasn't into them because of the lyrics at all, whatsoever. I was just into it because of like the guitar riffs and the solos and the power chords and stuff like that. I just really liked the sound. I knew that Stephen Jenkins, he's the lead vocalist, he has a good voice, but I never actually paid attention to the lyrics. It seemed like you guys, and you in particular, like you actually pay attention to the lyrics first and foremost.
I try my best to. Sometimes I just get completely sidetracked. Sometimes the music sounds so amazing that the lyrics just, I don't even listen to it. And sometimes the songs sound so damn good to me. And I'll, for example, use like a band that I just started listening to. It was called the Oh Hellos.
Yeah, yeah. It's how you listen to
them. They're incredible. Like, when I first listened to them, I listened to, like, I could barely understand what they were saying. I just couldn't get the gist of how they spoke and how they sang. I listened to the lyric, to the actual music, and it was just incredible. And after that, I listened to that CD in my car all the time, and every time I listen to it, I'm like, oh crap, that song's over, and I didn't even get a chance to listen to it after it just played.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why that happens. I'm just in another world, I guess. It makes me happy, so it doesn't let me focus on anything in the real world.
This is kind of a tangent, but do you think using like streaming services like Spotify have kind of like broadened your horizons a little bit with that kind of stuff?
Yeah. In fact, that's where I found out about him. A friend of mine that used to work with me, actually on his Facebook page, says, your friend is listening to this on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to get ideas for new songs you never, or new bands
I mean, most of the time it's the same shit I listen to or shit that I don't want to listen to. You know, just the same stuff that everybody listens to. And this stuff, this guy, he was a really good friend of mine. He still is. And he's a drummer, actually, which we may do some music. He, you know, just him posting that, I've looked up that band, and they're just incredible. And Spotify has definitely revolutionized the musical world. Things like Spotify.
Who's somebody else that you've discovered that you never would have?
I don't know. That's really the main one. I'd have to do some thinking. There's a lot of bands out there. I think there's another one I discovered years ago, probably back in like my freshman year of high school. Three bands, one called Broken Social Scene.
Yes.
They're supposedly from Canada, but I think they're actually from California. The other one is Ambulance LTD. They're kind of like Arcade Fire, but a little more laid back, and they are just amazing.
I gotta check that out. You know I love Arcade Fire.
Yeah, and Arcade Fire, that was the other one. You know, I've always had like four of their albums.
I gotta say, man, Arcade Fire's last album has turned into like one of my favorites ever.
It's so good.
I don't know why I don't have that on vinyl yet. I keep meaning to buy that.
Do they have it on vinyl?
Yeah, you can get all their their most recent album, not the one that's coming out later this year, but the most recent. I'm blanking. What was the name of that album?
I can't remember.
The Suburbs.
Suburbs, yes.
They actually natively recorded it on vinyl.
Oh, that's cool.
So when you get the CD or you download the MP3s, you're actually hearing how it would sound on vinyl. You can barely hear like a little bit of a hiss and a little bit of a pop and crackle in it a little bit.
That's good though. That means the record's good.
But you know, we'll bring it full circle. That is what, you know, traditionally has been considered to be like a concept album, where like the whole thing kind of tells like the same narrative and the same story.
Yeah.
That's so like
that's what I want to do. It's so hard for me to do is make a whole album about one thing.
There are different themes in like some of the different songs.
But they all lead to the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and they all tell the same story. Like the first song is the introduction to the whole book, and then the next song is the next chapter. And we have the next chapter.
Well, there actually are chapters in it. Like Sprawl 1, Sprawl 2, The Suburbs, Suburbs Continue.
Yeah, it's a big album.
And I really love what they did with it, too, because it wasn't just music. They actually did a short film that was based off of it, too.
I didn't know that.
And I love that. I wish that, to me, Arcade Fire has been the only band that has been able to figure this out, is to, you know,
it hits me 35.
That's okay, we're wrapping up. They're the only band that's been able to do this, to like make it not just a show when you see them live or just the music when you hear the album, but a whole experience, because there's a story in it. And if you enjoy what you hear in the album, you can go watch the short film. I think it's like half an hour long, they shot in Austin, Texas, where it tells a story. It's like these kids that are like being chased by the cops in the suburbia. And he just put a gun on my desk. Thank you for that.
I'll throw it away. No way. I just can't have it in my mouth.
And they, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but they did some interactive music videos. So the one for the suburbs, you could put in your address of where you grew up, and it would show like Google Maps of where you grew up, and it told the story about how those kids grew up in the suburbs.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then the one for Sprawl 2, which is like my favorite cut on that whole album. It's kind of like dance pop a little bit, but still like,
can I say something?
Folk a little? Yeah.
I feel like they're standing right outside the door and listening to us.
Let's find out. Nope. That's okay. No, I knew she would be late. It's okay.
Keep talking. I'm trying to laugh. I'm looking for him.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. But in the music video for Sprawl 2, it uses your webcam on your computer. So, like, what happens on screen happens as fast as you are moving in front of your webcam. And, like, that's almost like Michael Jackson type crap, and, like, how showman, and the kind of showmanship that they put into that, you know?
Yeah. I can't seem to... It takes a lot of heart to do that. A lot of, like, passion for the music to actually go that far.
Well, that's...
I want to go that far, but I don't have that much passion.
That is, to me, like, one of the long-term goals for, like, our artists that we're working with on the label.
Yeah.
Is, like...
I want
to
do that.
Make a full experience and tell a story. Because, honestly, to me, like, having it just be, like, a show or an album... It's a little boring. I think you can do way more than just that and make it like a full experience.
Yeah, I mean, Arcade Fire definitely, I think, opened up a completely new world to making an album. And making, you know, music, like just putting music out there. I mean, they're like one of the only bands that's done that.
Yeah. Well, I think Trent Reznor has done it a little bit with Nine Inch Nails.
Who cares?
Like, well, no, he does it a little the same way. Like, his albums are somewhat of concept albums, and he puts on like a whole show that tells like a narrative at all his live shows. I'm not nearly as into him as I am.
I'm not either. Nine Inch Nails is not my kind of music. But
I appreciate what he's trying to do, but that's just not really my genre.
I mean, I respect almost every single musician except for Adele. I can't
stand... Wait, what's that? What's
I can't stand Adele.
Tell me why.
I hate her voice. Like, I know that she had cancer or something like that, or a tumor or something like that in her throat.
Yeah.
And had to have it removed. I'm sorry. I have respect for you for that, but wow, I can't. There's no way.
You know, at risk of catching, like, you know, people making fun of me for this, I gotta agree with you. And it seems to me like she's the kind of person, like, a label, just like a label much bigger with more resources than us, just put on a pedestal to be like, oh, look at her, she can sing, you know, check her out.
Yeah, because they make money.
Well, yeah, it's like they made her a lead without her earning that status, you know?
She didn't have to earn it.
Well, it's like for every Adele, there's like hundreds and hundreds of other singer-songwriters.
For every one Adele, there are 100,000 Mumford & Sons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let me just talk about that for a second. I cannot explain how much I love just the band, you know, the band Mumford & Sons. I mean, if you go on YouTube, you can find what's called The Gentleman of the Road. which is like, you've heard of that?
Oh, that's awesome. They're doing like this tour where they stop two nights in each town. Exactly. Yeah.
And they did a video where they were in India. They did a video. It was awesome. Like, I didn't know that they would make, they played their songs with, you know, other Indian musicians, like drummers and all kinds of musicians I don't know the name of. But
how mad would it make you to know that I'm planning on waiting all day to get, like, front row spots at Bonnery to see him?
Today?
No, we're going to Bonnery this June.
Oh, I got you. I already got the tickets.
No, dude, I'm going. I'm planning on waiting all day to get up close and see them. I can't wait. Brandon already said that he was ready to kill me.
You know, you need to take your laptop and Skype it.
Good luck with that.
I'm serious.
Well, okay, let's go back a little bit. What, do you remember the first time you were exposed to Mumford?
It was in my sister's car. We were driving. It was when I was a sophomore in high school. Their first album that came out. Actually, no, I take that back. It was eighth grade. I was sitting on the bus, and a friend of mine, an old friend of mine, her name was Camille. She actually let me listen to a song by a band called Fleet Foxes, and then she sent me a link on Facebook, or somehow she sent me a link, and showed me a video of the very first Mumford & Sons music video.
Which one was it? Do you remember?
I can't remember. It was like, I think it was Little Lion Man. Where they were all in like a row, and they were on stage, and they were just playing the song.
Yeah,
that one. And I was just like, holy shit, that's amazing.
I remember my first experience was The Cave. And
that's the one.
Yeah. And that song is a little weird. I don't think it's the best representation of them, because it goes for like a minute or a minute and a half, just vocals. And I remember hearing that, and I'm like, this is what everybody's making a fuss about. But I think The Cave is more of like a deep cut in that particular album.
I think, I've really researched and dived, or I guess delved would be a better word, into the whole Mumford & Sons thing. I mean, they are, within their ethics and within the, not ethics, within their, what am I trying to say? I don't know.
Forget that. I got you.
Fuck that.
As far as ethics go, like Marcus Mumford's parents were like, they're like big leaders in some particular like European church or something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
What's cool is Marcus Mumford actually went to college for a semester and then came home, decided that wasn't for him, and he went and played in a bar and got famous. Literally, that's almost how.
Yeah, I didn't know about all this until there was a feature on them in Rolling Stone a couple of weeks ago. I'll loan you that magazine if you want to read it. There's like a big feature story about them. But yeah, would you say, like, I think everybody kind of clearly realizes it, but if you had to like be on record and say it, would you say like Mumford is like a big influence in everything that you worked on, like individually and in Ashley May?
Yeah, I would have to say that. Plus, a lot of people, and it would. You know, it wasn't just my influence. It was Brandon's influence. And Brandon had...
he even tries to look like him, so...
Well, he didn't try. It just happens.
It just happened naturally.
It did, actually. Marcus Mumford has such a huge impact on him. And the whole band does on him and me. And that's what really drives, I think, both of us to still make music. Because I think... if it wasn't for bands like that, and it wasn't for having any kind of possibility or seeing any possibility that something could happen like that, that's like Cinderella's story for a band.
Yeah.
You know, they play in a bar, and the next day they're touring.
They're not the type of band where somebody just magically swooped in and say, like, okay, tomorrow you're going to be big. You're going to be a star. Yeah. They, like, work for it. That what you're trying to say?
No.
No, okay.
No. Is that what the Rolling Stone article said?
That's the impression that I got from it. It's like that I've told you before.
Technically, they've been touring since they've been a band.
Okay.
Technically.
It just kind of kept gradually growing and growing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now they're headlining Bonnaroo.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this will be like the second time they've been at Bonnaroo, third time they've been at Bonnaroo?
This is the first time they're headlining, but
they've been at Bonnaroo.
Yeah,
before.
But yeah, that's crazy that you go from like just playing these dive bars outside of London co-headlining with Paul McCartney, a freaking Beatle, you know?
Well, Brighton is where they hit it big, I think.
Hello?
You're ruining the interview.
Right here?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
You should leave him outside.
You know, we'll get it. It's like... we'll just edit it in.
Okay, so if you made it this far, you can tell that we got a little cut off there. We are actually welcoming in some friends of ours that are going to be in a new band that we're working with called Rivers and Rust. Really excited about them. And just check our Facebook page at facebook.com/dirtyapple And pretty much everywhere else on the internet, we're there. Just find us, and we'll tell you more about what's going on with them, with Whiskey River Kings, with the Valley Roots, with Rather Not Say, a lot of other cool things that we've got going on. Anyway, just continue to follow us, and we'll let you know what's going on. And we'll see you next time.
She don't know the evil things, and I hope they never change. She thinks I tuck my tail and run if trouble ever came my way. She don't know me from Moses, and that's for sure. She don't know me.